In the name of Jesus, amen. Christmas is a season of stories and songs and of speech. Even if some are old fiction and some are new fabrications. But whether we sit on the couch and we read to our children about a miserly Scrooge in Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, or we lounge in our recliner and we watch a guardian angel attend to the desperate George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, or we laugh at the more modern tale of Buddy the Elf, a boy apparently raised by Santa's elves who embarks on a very comical journey of self-discovery, and then in an epic scene of the redefinition of the food pyramid to everything that is sugar. Or we sit back and we ride the enchanted Polar Express with a young boy into the heart of the North Pole that shows him that the wonder of life never fades for those who believe, who then can hear the ringing of a silver bell. Indeed, we are caught up in the wonder and the stories and the songs and the speech. Even those who don't come to church regularly or even at all recognize this as they speak of the magic of Christmas. Don't really know what that is. It's sort of a fuzzy phrase. But I suppose it attempts to transport us into a dreamlike world where we, even adults, can become children, where we can lay down our baggage for a moment and relive old childhood memories or fantasize about things that never really happened. Christianity has its own story as well, even if it is largely pushed out of the public square. Together, believers and unbelievers are still pulled in by the Christmas story. The Holy Family searching for a place to rest has universal appeal to those who find themselves in a strange city at night without a Motel 6 or a Holiday Inn. Nativity accounts record for us real stories about real events. But they still are stories to some extent. And we all love a good story, right? Stories give us a past and a history. And they leave to our children and our children's children, even if it is at times a fictionalized inheritance. At Christmas time, the church recalls her origins. Christmas is not only the time and mystery of the birth of God through the Virgin Mary, but it's also the birth of a new humanity in the God who became man, who is Emmanuel, God with us. So much is found in that pregnant phrase, and he became man. And so on that first Christmas, when Christ was born on earth, we children of Adam were born in heaven to be children of him, even though no one except God had any idea that any of us would exist at this time. In the end, Jesus is really the only one who counts. For the Apostle John said of Jesus that he was the light who enlightens all who come into this world. And so just as every human being who ever lived was created in Adam and born in sin, so everyone who is born anew of Jesus, born from above, from him who is from God, is born even from him who was born from a lowly feeding trough. He took our place by being born on earth, and we took his place by being placed in heaven as we are now his God, as we are now his sons and daughters. So I suppose the white elephant gift exchange at Christmas is incredibly unfair to Jesus. But you know, he wants it that way. And there are countless things that have occurred in history that are true. Yet what happens in this announcement to a bewildered Joseph is history giving birth to a new page that history could have never written itself. It's a story that comes alive and is life itself, the virgin birth. It happened, but it will never happen again. It's the place where we receive our very life. And it's a story that should never get old, for it is always being new and is always being fulfilled with great wonder and great hope. Even as the Virgin Mary inquires, "How shall this be?" It's a story that indeed never gets old. We will remember the readings and perhaps even the hymns, but we will largely forget the sermon. Don't worry, I do too. After the 10:30 service, I can't remember it. And though the sermon is well crafted and even perhaps well delivered, it can never replace the readings, the confession. For after all, no one can improve upon the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther, in his epic Christmas hymn, "From Heaven Above to Earth I Come," and all of its 15 verses of glory, inserts himself right into the shepherds. Shepherds who stumble over their feet to get to Bethlehem to see this holy child. He writes, "Now let us all with gladsome cheer go with the shepherds and draw near to this precious gift of God who hath his own dear Son bestowed." And as you flip through the hymnal and you look at the Christmas hymns, you will notice how many of them are written that way, urging you to go unto Bethlehem. The ever joyful Adeste Fidelis, O come all ye faithful, tells us that we shall go to Bethlehem. Venite, venite, come, come unto Bethlehem. Though many kings and emperors have been declared divine by their countless subjects, even after their death, Christmas is a story told by the Holy Spirit centering on the child, born divine, yet declared by an angel as the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then men of different race and language and nation and land all come to worship him as God in the flesh. But since Christmas is a story told by the Holy Spirit, we must understand that we cannot pick and choose with what parts of the story we want to become involved with. And so the function of fast-forwarding the Bible on your DVR has been disabled. So it begins Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You try and fast-forward, but you can't. For as you hear it, you aren't standing in a cafeteria of food which you may or may not eat, or pick and choose what you please, or change the TV channel to something else with your on-demand button. No, you have the lessons and you have the carols and you have that service that tells you of the great narrative of salvation history. You aren't auditioning for the roles in the children's Christmas service. For you must hear, believe, and participate in the entire story and not just part of it. Christmas is not simply celebrating a part of Christmas or a part as being like a shepherd or a sheep or even Joseph or even the mother of our Lord, the mother of God. For every man, woman, child must eventually see Jesus as he is. Not simply by watching him, not simply by singing about him, but actually worshiping him and confessing him and thus becoming one with him. Even as he becomes one with you, Emmanuel, God with us. There is a long-standing platitude that preachers like to pull out this time of year. The wood of the manger is also that wood upon which our Lord was crucified. It might not mean much to our eardrums, worn thin by repetition of said narratives, but a child born divine is destined to a life of slander and persecution and death. Christ's birth not only draws us into heaven, but it also draws us into a slander and a persecution that he knew not only in his death, but also in his birth and adolescence as well. And that, my beloved Christians, is why we need today. We need Advent. Advent helps us to understand that Christmas is not simply a story of limitless joy, but it also has a tone of impending doom and sorrow. The cross hangs over the manger just as much as the star does. For the note of sadness need not be brought in by all kinds of allusions to Palm Sunday or Holy Week or Good Friday. It's already here in the Christmas story itself. The son born before all time was thought by Joseph to be out of wedlock, a great scandal on that Christmas Eve night. The child Jesus would spend many years fleeing from the soldiers of the wicked and corrupt King Herod, and also in Egyptian captivity as well. And Mary, the one whose body would be gifted and experience the miracle of the incarnation, had to hear the bitter news and promise that her own soul would be run through with a sword as she watched her baby, yet her Lord, die upon a tree. Now, later this afternoon, we will have our children's Christmas service. And in some ways, that is what Christmas is all about. For they, these children, these babes of ours, make the story alive not only for our ears, but for our eyes as well. For many of us are too old now to play those parts. Many of us, if we might be honest, are too disinterested or too distracted or maybe even disabled by the burdens and cares of this life to pay attention to anything regarding the Christmas narrative. But our children and our grandchildren are our Christmas surrogate messengers of angelic good news. For the Christmas story is ultimately played out in the lives of God's holy people as they live the new birth of Christ, yet suffering as they reflect the holy infancy and the coming of our Christ every time at this year. So listen to the ancient story again. And it will become part of you just as you will lose yourself in becoming part of it. In the name of Jesus, amen.